So this week, as I've been thinking about all the events that have happened over the last weeks, and this morning we talked about the value of suffering, I want to look at something else that is valuable, I believe, for this afternoon, and that is the value of contentment. In 2025, the value of contentment. And a lot of times when we hear that word, we will think about for temporal things. But before we're finished, I want us to see the value that it was for Sister Maxine to find contentment where she was. I looked at the definition of contentment: happy and at ease. Now, you know, I could say, well, that's my definition when I have everything I want. I'm happy and I'm at ease. Another definition was satisfied. And I look at those things, contentment. When the new phone would come out, a new version of the iPhone would come out, and it's put out with a big advertising blitz to where people will stand in line overnight to be able to be the first one to get this new version of a phone. I remember a company that came into town, and there was some really good advertising. Here's when this company is going to open up. It'll be 6 o'clock in the morning. People lined up during the night in their cars down the street to be able to get into their, you know what it was? Krispy Kreme. The donut is coming to town. And people were willing to line up to be able to have it. I was thinking of the contentment and what would be the opposite of it. The scripture also tells us to beware of covetousness. And to me, covetous is a very bad word. It's an excessive desire for something, especially material possessions, or something that belongs to another person. And to be able to balance life, contentment opposed to covetous. And I'd like for us this afternoon to look for a little bit at Luke 12. There was something that was happening in the 13th verse of Luke 12. One of the company said to him, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." And because surely Jesus can solve problems. He said unto him, "Man who made me a judge or a divider over you." And then he gives us a scripture that is, I think, a life lesson for us, a challenge for us. Take heed and beware of covetousness. Beware of that excessive desire to be able to have something. Because you know what that excessive desire to have something is going to cause me? To lose my contentment, no matter what that is. "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." Part of contentment is for me to realize a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Because a man can possess a whole lot of things and he still not be contented. And then he gives us the parable. "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Thought within himself, what'll I do? I don't have room to bestow my fruits. This is what I'm going to do. I'll pull down my barns, build greater. And I'm going to say to my soul," now you would think that this is reaching contentment level right here. "I'm going to say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." You know, there are a lot of people that feel like if I can just reach the retirement age with a stack of cash, I will be contented. And then God looks at this. "And God said to him, thou fool, this night your soul is going to be required of thee. And then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" And it says in the next verse, it tells us, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and he is not rich toward God." And I was thinking of a song, It's number 97. 97 in the first verse. All this world, its wealth and honor, cannot sate, cannot satisfy the human breast. But when filled with God our Father, every want is fully blessed. It doesn't say that every want is supplied, but there's a blessing put in our life when we're filled with God our Father. My soul is satisfied. And it tells it again, my soul is satisfied. I am complete in Jesus' love, and my soul is satisfied. Now, there's one place at the end of this song, after talking about how satisfied he is, the last verse says he's not satisfied. And why? He's still got the blessing of the Lord on him. Would my soul could more encompass heaven's glory will to me. Oh, the love of God so precious, it's like a deep and a shoreless sea. Where he was not satisfied is he would like to have some more of that satisfaction come to him. There's a verse over in Hebrews. Hebrews 13 and 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So the desire that I can have for the things around me, be content with such things as you have. Now I want you to be, as we're looking at these, a lot of times we'll just be thinking about temporal things and how I need to be satisfied. But I want us to look out into the long range of what Sister Maxine has faced over the past years and contented with such things as she had. The health that she had, that she reached a level of contentment. And how do you reach that level? There's another one over in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and in the 6th verse. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. You know the verse that said, here's, and I think it's good to pass it along to young people when they're starting out in life, what's the most important thing? Sometimes we will listen to people talk about money, and they tell you to live like nobody else today so you can live like nobody else later. When you have a pile of cash and you're retiring, well, this one says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things will be added. The things that I need in my life will be added. And I'm thankful for that. There's another one over in Philippians, the 4th chapter and in the 11th verse. This is Paul, after all the things that has happened to him in his life. Not that I speak in respect of want. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We see a picture of this happening in his life. In the 14th chapter of Acts, we start reading in there and a lame man gets healed. And you would think, well, that's wonderful. Things will go very well. And it did. There were a lot of people that were believers because of that. So I look at it in Acts 14 and 8. There sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and he walked. And when the people saw what Paul say, I have learned how to abound and to be abased. When the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." They called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Can you imagine? I have learned both how to abound and to be abased. When things are going very well and I'm very popular, or when things turn around, and look how quick it can turn around. And it tells in the next few verses that Paul rent their clothes, ran in among the people, saying, "Why do you do these things? We're also men of like passions like you are." And in the 18th verse, it says, "With these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them." Now you would think, look in the very first verse of 14th chapter, "It came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, and a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed." They had a great time there, were popular, and look how things can change so quick. Because in the very next verse after this, in the 18th verse, "With these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice." How long will popularity last? How long did it last when Jesus came into Jerusalem and there were multitudes that were welcoming him? And in 5 days, he's hanging on the cross. In this one, it says, "And there came thither," 19th verse, "certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul," just after they decided that they were gods, they've turned against him now and stoned him, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. There is a verse that we read sometimes, Romans 8 and 28. "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." I have learned, in whatsoever state, whatsoever condition I am, therewith to be content. So I want to look at now an area of contentment. Jesus said, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Jesus had a desire. We are told with our desires, with thanksgiving, and we do it at prayer request time every service, "With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And my requests are always for something a little better than what I have. I would appreciate better health. I'd appreciate, you know, we'll pray for a better job or different things like that. It's always that I'm desiring an improvement. "With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So how do we find contentment once we have done that? For us to be able to say, "If it be possible, Lord, this cup that I'm going through, this difficulty in my life, I would like for you to take it away. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Satisfied with the choices that God makes for the direction in my life. You know, as a Christian, I get that privilege of saying, whatever happens in my life is allowed by God. Job recognized that. The things that happened in his life, he didn't say it was the Chaldeans that took these animals. He was told that it was. He could have written it down in a book. Here's the people that took these. Instead, he said, "The Lord gave it, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." There is a level of contentment that we can find as we consecrate our life to the Lord's. "Lord, here's what I would like for you to do." You know, we will not have contentment if we tell the Lord what we want him to do and he does not permit that to happen. We're going to lose contentment. We're not going to be satisfied. But there is a place where we can find contentment. Paul, when he went to the Lord three times, "I've got this thorn in the flesh that I would like to have removed." And what did the Lord say? "I've got some grace that's sufficient for you. I'm not going to take away this. I'm not going to give you what you're asking for, but I've got grace for it. You know, it would have been real easy for Paul to lose his level of satisfaction in walking with the Lord. Look at what he did say, though, over in 2 Corinthians 12, 9th verse. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul hears his decision. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. You know, this morning we're talking about the value of suffering. Here he's saying, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me. He was the one that said, these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, they work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And he said, he was the one that said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with what we have out here. We're going to have, for us to have contentment in whatever God allows to happen in my life, one thing I've got to do is I have got to have a strong picture of heaven out ahead. The value of it. You remember, it was so valuable to Paul that when he was had both of them here together, he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. To go home to heaven would be what I would like to have happen. I can imagine that after all the times he was shipwrecked and beat and all the things that happened. But yet he committed that part into the Lord's hands also. And I think of this. Sister Maxine left us an example of submission. How many times, how many prayers we prayed that the Lord would heal Sister Maxine. And he did. He brought her to a level of being able to be back with us again. As a result of that submission, there's some things that happens. I look at a verse in song number 55. Will I be able to have contentment whatsoever state I am therewith to be content? 55 song says, O sweet will of God, thou hast girded me round. Lord, your will for my life, I can feel it like a covering around me. It is what's covering me. And then it says, look at this third verse. And now I have flung myself recklessly out, like a chip on the stream of his infinite will. Then it says, forever I choose the good will of my God. I don't know what it is. I don't know what tomorrow holds. But I tell you, I have watched some already here just put their hand in the Lord's and find a contentment and a peace by having done it. I saw that with Sister Vicky. She had so much energy to give. And yet when that was gone, she submitted it all into the Lord's hands and died with victory. I saw it with Cheryl. I saw her be able to say, you know what? I've told the Lord to put in my life the things that will give me the best opportunity of making heaven. I want to tell you, suffering a lot of times will come with that request. But when it came, she said, this is the vehicle that will take me to heaven. There is a level of contentment as we put our hand in God's and just tell him, Lord, forever I choose the good will of my God. When I don't even know for sure what it is, I just yield, I submit myself into your hands. A level of submission that brings contentment, but also has to be renewed every once in a while. I saw that with Sister Maxine. She could become contented, satisfied with this is the Lord's place for my life. But I want to tell you, when you lay in that bed for a month, you've got to go back and you got to tie that thing down on the altar again and give it to God again. In that book that I talked about this morning of Hinds Feet on High Places, much afraid with her companions of sorrow and suffering, these are going to be the two that will get you to the high places. And when they went out into the desert, place that really stands out to me is they're at this little village-like, and there's a tank outside that has a low pipe coming into the tents, little cabins. And that pipe, it's in the desert. There's nothing growing outside. And that pipe has a tiny little hole in it, and it's dripping water on the desert floor. And there in that little drip of water, it said was the most beautiful flower. And the name of the flower was acceptance. You know, we can all accept it because there's nothing else I can do about it. But you can't find contentment that way. This one, it said the name of that flower was acceptance with joy. To be able to have joy to know, you know what, God has allowed this in my life for today. And he will walk with me through it. He can turn it around and take me out of it, or he will take me to heaven. Acceptance with joy. There's another song that I'd like for us to close with. You know, contentment goes, we find it goes to a much deeper level than the food I eat and the clothes I wear and the temporal things that I feel like are real important. There is a song number 481. Here is where we come to this level of contentment, a satisfaction that God has got it all in his hand. In that second verse, it says, would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment always? And I say, yep, that's what I want. And it says, you must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar, your all you must lay. To have the level of contentment that whatever happens in my life, I can find a level of contentment that God is with me and will walk with me. We also need that level of contentment in our temporal things, because it's easy for us to see that, you know what, somebody else has things better than I do. That's an important part of contentment. But I want to tell you, what we have seen in this last year, contentment that can come from a satisfaction that I know I'm in the place that God has for me, and he will walk with me through it. Last verse of that says, who can tell all the love he will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made. Of the fellowship sweet we will share at his feet, when our all on the altar is laid. In 2025, to be able to have a submission to God, whatever you send into my life will be best for me. Maybe we could stand and sing that number 481.